Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. You know, AI is everywhere these days. It feels like every time I turn around, there's something new popping up.
I know what you mean. It's really been an explosion of new developments.
Absolutely. So we thought it was about time to do a deep dive into the world of artificial intelligence.
Yeah, it's a great time to sort of take stock of where things are, you know, how it's changing how we work, learn, and even think about creativity.
Exactly. And so the jumping off point for our deep dive today is this document we have. It breaks down the capabilities of AI, the competitive landscape. It's really dense with information.
Yeah. And I think one of the key things that I picked up on in this document is how AI is becoming less behind the scenes, you know, and more something that we directly interact with every day.
So let's talk about some of those AI tools that have been making headlines. I'm talking about things like ChatGPT, Claude, Perplexity. What makes these different from what we've seen before?
Well, I mean, I think their versatility is something we haven't really seen before. I mean, the range of things these tools can do, you know, you can ask it to help you write a business proposal and then turn right around and ask it for what to make for dinner based on what's in your fridge.
Yeah, it's kind of like having a digital Swiss Army knife for information and tasks. But how does this actually translate into real world benefits?
Well, that's the exciting part, right? I mean, there are so many examples. Like, let's say you're a student and you're struggling with a math problem. Instead of, you know, waiting for a tutor, you can just open one of these AI tools and get a step-by-step solution.
So it's not just about making things easier. It's like doing things that were previously difficult or even impossible for the average person.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's really cool is that you don't need to be a tech expert to use them. I mean, they adapt to your level, you know? So whether you're a beginner or an expert, they provide guidance based on, well, on your understanding.
And that adaptability really seems to be a theme in this document, how AI is becoming more personalized, more user-friendly.
Yeah, it's really moving beyond this idea of, you know, one-size-fits-all solutions and moving towards something that adapts to your specific learning style, your preferences, your skill level.
Right.
And this has huge implications, you know, for things like education, making learning more engaging, more accessible.
We've been talking a lot about the practical applications of AI. What about the creative side? I mean, does AI help or hinder human creativity?
That's a great question. I don't think it's about replacing human creativity. I think it's more about augmenting it. You know, think of it like a brainstorming partner. It can help you see new perspectives, get you out of a creative rut.
So instead of seeing AI as a threat, we should see it as a collaborator, something that can push human creativity even further.
Absolutely. I mean, recognizing that synergy between human ingenuity and what AI can do, that's where the real magic happens, right? I mean, who knows? It could lead to breakthroughs in art, music design, you know. Limitless possibilities, really.
Yeah, and it's easy to get caught up in all the possibilities and cool new tools, but we can't forget that AI is also impacting industries and how nations compete with each other on a global scale.
That's right. Yeah. And that's something this document really dives into. It looks at South Korea specifically, and it talks about both the strengths and the challenges they face in this global AI race.
And that's where we're headed next in our deep dive. We're going to be looking at where South Korea stands in the AI world and what it needs to do to become a leader in this transformative technology. Okay, so we've established that AI has the potential to transform just about every aspect of our lives. But where does South Korea fit into all of this? I mean, in this global AI landscape?
Yeah, that's where things get really interesting. I mean, South Korea really has a lot going for it when it comes to AI development. Yeah, I mean, think about it. They've got a super connected population. Internet speeds are amazing. And there's a real, you know, a real culture of embracing technology.
Yeah.
That's a strong foundation.
So the infrastructure is there. What about the brains behind the operation? I mean, does South Korea have the talent to compete on, you know, like a global level?
They do. They absolutely do. I mean, South Korea has a really strong STEM education system. So they're producing these, you know, highly skilled engineers, researchers, and we're not just talking about quantity here. The quality's there too.
Mm.
And you've got major Korean companies like, you know, Samsung, Naver, Kakao. They're investing a ton of money into AI research and development.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing some pretty impressive breakthroughs.
Oh, like what kind of AI projects are coming out of South Korea?
Well, one that comes to mind is Naver's HyperCLOVA. It's a powerful language model. And to understand why this is important, you kind of need to understand what a language model is. So basically, it's an AI system that's trained on massive amounts of text data.
Okay.
And this allows it to you know, understand and generate human-like text.
So it's kind of like a supercharged version of that autocomplete feature we see on, you know, our phones and stuff.
Exactly, exactly. But like way more advanced. I mean, Hyper-C Olivier, it can write articles, it can compose poetry, translate languages. I mean, it can even generate code. And what's really interesting is that Korean companies are focusing on, you know, developing language models that are specifically for the Korean language, which has its own challenges and opportunities.
So it sounds like South Korea is really well positioned to be, you know, a major player in this AI world. But this document, it does mention some roadblocks they're facing, right? Like what are some of the challenges?
So one of the biggest ones is this global shortage of GPUs. So that's graphics processing units.
Okay.
These specialized chips. They're the real workhorses behind AI development.
Got it.
I mean, they're essential for training and running these, you know, complex AI models.
Okay, but why is this shortage such a big deal?
Well, think of it this way. GPUs are like the engines that power AI, right? So you can't build a high-performance race car without enough powerful engines. And it's the same with AI. I mean, this lack of access to high-end GPUs, it's putting Korean companies at a disadvantage, especially when you compare them to, you know, the big global tech giants who are buying them up like crazy.
So it's a resource battle, and South Korea is struggling to keep up.
Yeah. I mean, the document talks about how companies like Meta, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, they're spending billions of dollars to secure these GPUs. And Korean companies are investing a lot, but that gap is definitely widening.
So what are some potential solutions? I mean, how can they overcome this GPU shortage?
Well, the document suggests a couple of things. I mean, one is increased collaboration between the government and the private sector,
Correct.
So they can invest together in, you know, building domestic GPU manufacturing capabilities. And another idea is to create a cloud-based GPU ecosystem where companies can, you know, access these resources without having to own the physical hardware.
So it's about thinking outside the box and finding ways to level the playing field a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being creative, finding ways to bridge that resource gap. But the GPU shortage, I mean, that's not the only challenge South Korea faces, right? The document, it also talks about this need for stronger fundamental AI research.
What do you mean by fundamental research?
Well, it's about pushing the boundaries, right? I mean, developing new algorithms, you know, really digging into the theoretical underpinnings of the field. I mean, South Korea, they're great at applying, you know, existing AI technologies.
Okay.
But if they want to be a true leader, they need to really ramp up their contributions to, you know, groundbreaking research.
So it's not just about using AI, it's about really understanding it, right, on a deeper level and then contributing to, like, its evolution.
Exactly. And that means having a strong research ecosystem, you know, dedicated funding, top talent, and a culture that really encourages that exploration and innovation. And then there's another challenge they face, and it's all about data.
Data. I mean, I thought data was, like, everywhere these days.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
But it's the type of data that matters, right? I mean, specifically for, you know, developing AI that's tailored to the Korean market, they need access to high-quality Korean language data.
Got it.
And this is where things get a little tricky because, you know, you've got privacy regulations, which are important, of course, right,
yeah,
to protect individuals. But they can also, they can limit access to, you know, valuable data that could be used for training AI models.
So it's like walking this tightrope between, you know, fostering innovation and safeguarding privacy.
Yeah. Exactly. It's finding that balance. And then there's another challenge related to data, and it's this this potential for bias.
Okay.
So if the data that's used to train the AI models is, you know, skewed or incomplete, it can lead to biased outcomes.
Right, right. And this makes me think about how, you know, AI can be used for good or for bad. And
yeah.
I mean, are there concerns about AI being, you know, misused either on purpose or just accidentally?
Absolutely. That's a really important question. And we're going to dive into that more the next part of our deep dive. We're going to look at, you know, some of the potential pitfalls of AI, the evolving regulatory landscape, and how different countries are trying to, you know, walk that line between fostering innovation and mitigating risks.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground already, the amazing potential of AI, you know, the challenges South Korea is facing. But there's another piece to this puzzle we need to talk about, and that's the potential downsides of AI.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we can't just focus on the shiny new toys and ignore the potential for things to go wrong. And this document we've been looking at, it definitely brings up some of those concerns.
Like what are some of the risks associated with AI that they mention?
Well, I think one of the biggest worries people have is job displacement. You know, as AI systems become more capable, there's this fear that that they could automate a lot of the tasks that humans are doing now, right? And that could lead to job losses, especially in certain sectors.
Yeah, I mean, we've already seen automation impact some industries. And with AI advancing so quickly, it's natural to wonder what it means for the workforce of the future, right?
Absolutely. And it's a complex issue, right? There are no easy answers. But I think it's important to remember that AI can also create new jobs and opportunities. I mean, the key is to be prepared. You know, adapt our education and training systems to prepare people for the jobs that that will be in demand in this new AI-driven world.
So it's about being proactive, right? And equipping people with the skills they need to thrive.
Exactly. It's about fostering a mindset of lifelong learning, you know, being adaptable. And another concern they bring up in the document is this potential for bias in AI systems? We talked a little bit about this earlier with data.
Right. The idea that if the data used to train an AI model is biased, then the model itself could perpetuate and even amplify those biases.
Yeah, exactly. And that could have really serious consequences, especially in areas like hiring, lending, you know, even the criminal justice system. I mean, imagine an AI system that's used to screen job applicants, but it was trained on, you know, biased data that reflects, you know, historical gender or racial biases. That system could really unfairly disadvantage certain groups of people.
So how do we make sure that AI systems are fair and unbiased?
Well, it all starts with the data, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to be really careful about the data we use to train these models, make sure that it's representative, that it doesn't perpetuate those existing inequalities. But it's not just about data. It's also about developing algorithms that are transparent, you know, accountable, so we can see how they're making decisions and spot any potential biases.
So it's about building like safeguards into the very core of these AI systems, right? To prevent discrimination and promote fairness.
Exactly, yeah. And this brings us to another crucial part of this whole conversation, regulation. I mean, this document, it looks at how different countries are approaching this challenge of regulating AI.
Right, because it's such a, you know, new and rapidly evolving field, governments around the world are, they're still trying to figure out how to create rules and guidelines that encourage innovation, but also protect against those potential harms.
Yeah, it's a tough balance to strike. The document, it highlights a few different approaches. So, for example, the European Union, they're known for their strict data privacy regulations, and they're taking a similar kind of cautious approach with AI. They're really focused on risk assessment and mitigation.
So the EU is really prioritizing safety and ethical considerations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they have this AI Act that categorizes AI systems based on their potential risk levels. And then they set out requirements for high-risk systems, you know, things like data quality, transparency, human oversight.
Okay, so how does that compare to, say, the U.S.?
Well, the United States has historically taken a more hands-off approach. They've relied more on industry self-regulation guidelines, more of a wait-and-see approach, you know, see how things develop and then adjust regulations accordingly.
Interesting. So what about South Korea? I mean, where do they fit in with all this?
Well, they're still in the process of, you know, developing their own comprehensive AI regulations.
Right. We talked about that act on fostering the artificial intelligence industry.
Exactly. And that legislation really shows that they want to strike that balance, right, between promoting innovation and addressing those concerns about ethics, safety, accountability. So it'll be interesting to see how they navigate all of that as their AI ecosystem continues to mature.
It really feels like we're at this turning point with AI, you know? We're just starting to understand its potential, but we're also becoming more aware of the potential risks.
Yeah, it's a time of incredible excitement, but also a lot of responsibility, right? And this document we've been looking at, it really captures that. I mean, AI has the potential to, you know, to make the world a better place, but it's up to us to make sure we use it wisely.
Powerful takeaway. I mean, we all need to be, thoughtful, informed, engaged as we move into this AI-driven future.
Yeah, I totally agree. Staying informed, asking the tough questions, and having, thoughtful discussions about the ethical implications of AI.
Yeah.
Those are all so important for for shaping a future where AI really benefits everyone.
Well, this has been an amazing deep dive. I mean, I've learned so much. A big thank you to our expert for walking us through all this.
My pleasure.
And to everyone listening, thank you so much for joining us. And remember, the future of AI, I mean, it's not set in stone, right? It's something we're all creating together. So stay curious, stay informed, and stay engaged.